Lisa Haynes and I have known each other since we were children growing up in Old Town. It has always been my thrill to talk to Lisa, and it has always been my increasing thrill to read what she writes, because she is a talented, talented writer. I knew her through, you know, Lisa, how are you?
I'm great. It's so good to hear your wonderful voice.
I'm thinking to myself, I knew you before you knew how to write your name, for God's sake. Do you know what I mean?
And oh, my God, that long.
It is that long ago, honey. This book, and we will talk about it in some detail, a novel called The Book of Knives, is spooky, insightful, creepy, with some of the most interesting characters I've met in a long time in fiction. Talk to me for a while before that, Lisa, about this is your 1, 2, 3, 4. This is your fifth novel. How have you grown as a novelist, and how did you become a novelist, please?
Oh, that's, you know, how have I grown? I have to think about that, but I know how I became a novelist. I had started out in poetry, and I felt like I needed a new challenge. I also thought, if I'm ever going to support myself, it won't be with poetry.
there are very few rich poets.
Yeah, I think of fiction, it's sort of like three-dimensional chess. You have many things going on in your head all at once, and I just find it fascinating. How have I grown as a writer? I don't know. I just, it's part of my daily life. Even if I'm not writing that day, I'm thinking about what I'm doing. So, and I get to mentor, you know, because I teach at Emerson College. So,
when do you decide? Let's start to talk about what is the seed? And you can go to lisahaynes.com to get a taste of her previous books. Titled When We Disappear, Girl in the Arena, Small Acts of Sex and Electricity, and In My Sister's Country. What then, Lisa Haynes, was the seed of a Book of Knives? Was there a seed? Was there a memory that sparked the first?
Absolutely. I wanted to tell a ghost story. And I've always been interested in that boundary between the real and the unreal in life and in fiction.
Sure.
So what our minds and hearts conjure versus the nature of accepted reality. So we see something out of the corner of our eye that might not really be there. We imagine we see a loved one in a crowd. And I actually heard my mother singing to me a day or two after she died, as clear as a bell. I was very young, and that experience in many ways kept me going. So I got deeper and deeper into the idea of how can I tell an original ghost story.
This is an astonishingly original ghost story. It takes place at much of it takes place at a sort of beaten up and bedraggled summer camp called Hidden Lake Camp. Did you go to camp, Lisa? Did you draw on any personal experience to create that place?
I barely went to camp. No, I really didn't. But I was trying to think, you know, how do I come up with something when there's a gazillion ghost stories out there?
Sure.
So I thought instead of pushing away tropes, I would actually embrace them with a haunted campground. And then the challenge was to think about who are these characters?
Yeah, who are you going to put in this haunted camp? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And you have, it's a wild collection. I must tell you that I am, and I'm going to read a little bit of the main character. The narrator of this book is a woman named Nora, who is married to her second husband. She's a documentary filmmaker, and she is one compelling person. Not as compelling as my buddy Lisa Haynes, but she's a compelling, compelling character. Lisa, we got to take a break, but you're going to be on for another half hour. And sit tight, and we'll be back to you, okay?
Great.
Born and raised in Chicago, Lisa Haynes is the author of, most recently, Book of Knives. It's a chilling. If you're one of those people who buys books for gifts or anything for like, ooh, I'm going to give someone a Halloween book. This would be a good Halloween book. It would be a good Valentine's Day book. It would be a good Christmas book. Lisa, you mentioned when we were talking just a few minutes ago about your mom, and I know there are a lot of people listening to this radio station who will remember your mom and dad when you grew up in Chicago. Could you tell the listeners who they were?
So my mom was Virginia Kay. She had a column in the Chicago Daily News. And my stepdad was Norton Kay, and he was the political editor of Chicago Today. And they met at the American and fell in love, and that's the story.
And helped raise you. They were both, I know, big inspirations to you. This character, Nora, the lead character and the narrator of this amazing book, could not have come to you full-blown, could she? I mean, you had to live with this character for a while, did you not?
I don't think anything comes to me full-blown. I start with a sentence or an image, and then I go from there. So it is a process of getting to know her. But I thought she was a perfect vehicle because of her documentary filmmaking.
Mm.
So her very job is to study people and to find out about the stories people tell and the secrets they would like to hold on to. And this kind of fits with my love of the visual in life, film, photography, and the fact that my memory is pretty visual. So I felt very aligned with her, but different than her.
I don't want to give away too much of the book. I'll tell people, and you stop me if I'm getting too deep. Nora lost a husband, and she has a new husband named Paul, whose family runs this hidden lake camp, or ran it. And she is not reluctant to go help him put the camp back together so it can be sold. Yes?
Yes. And
his family is how shall I put this in a literary? His family pretty screwy, aren't they?
Absolutely screwy. And she married her husband's best friend.
Uh-huh.
In a bit of a rush. Sometimes people don't want to go through this full grieving process. But speaking of grieving, this family is putting her through unending grief. But you don't want to put characters in an isolated place and have everyone get along.
Yeah, of course not. And no, of course not.
The most difficult person for her in many ways is Salish, who is a cook and has 4 kids, and this is her sister-in-law, and she has this set of 13 specialty knives, and they're very important to her, so she's got them tucked away, and she brings them out like an incredible piece of artwork.
Yeah, like the crown jewel. They're the crown jewels to this woman, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know something terrible is going to happen with these knives because of all this care, and they start disappearing on her, and she's absolutely falling apart.
I'm going to read a little bit of this. I want people to get a sense of Nora. I'd love, if I had a 4-hour show, I'd read the whole book to people. But this is here. As if it will split us in two, the house cracks with lightning tonight. Paul, who's her husband, sleeps on. In elementary school, a friend lost the attic of her house to lightning. It was the family's game room, and luckily no one was up there playing foosball. My friend and I crept up to the attic stairs a few days later, snuck under the yellow warning tape, and saw the blackened wood, the melted games, window openings where the glass had blown away. We were punished for walking on floors we might have fallen through. Ever since, I've had a great respect for this kind of weather event. Taking my Nikon out of off the closet shelf, I move to the window to film the lake. I get the screen up just as a lightning bolt hits the water. I see Gabe, another character in the book, by one of the wedding room windows. Turning my camera off, I set it down on the desk and go back to bed. Eventually, I drop off. Sitting straight up, as if I'm about to fly through the air, I see Lily, a little girl, standing by my side of the bed. Usually, she doesn't startle me this way. Feeling for Paul, the husband, to get him to move over, I have a hard time calming my heart. I turn the lamp switch several clicks. I see there is no light coming from the power strip. The electricity is down. Lily tugs at the thin cover. Now, that on the face of it, Lisa Haynes, is not really scary, but that section really freaked me out because I could absolutely see her. I could almost put myself in her place, and I was scared that the lights were out. That's lovely writing. That's lovely, lovely writing. How long did it take you to write this book?
Oh, I think I lost track. I would say probably 3 years.
Wow.
And I write primarily in the summer since I'm teaching and then winter break. So, I would say about 3 years.
And how difficult?
I go over and over and over every line.
Oh, I'm sure you do. How difficult was it? Give me a sense of, I'm having another author on following you, a former newspaper man and a wonderful guy named John Gorman, who's written his first book, and we were talking before the show about how difficult it is to get published these days. You've been published 5 times before. Was there any difficulty? This is a fantastic book. Was there any difficulty in getting it published?
Well, it's always a challenge. I was with a indie house for a while. First I was with a big house, then an indie house with the same editor, and then that company folded. So I had to go out and find someone brand new. And Sourcebook is actually outside of Chicago.
Sure.
And so it was a nice fit. I felt lucky.
You also spent... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I want to hear you.
Well, you work hard to make sure that everyone's on board with a book, and it's all about taste and proclivities, and if it's a ghost story in this case, is it scary enough? Is it too scary? Does it reveal something about human nature, or is it just plot, plot, plot? And I'm much more interested in
human
saying
nature.
Something about
No question. But the plotting in this thing is beautifully done, too. Rick Moody was one of my favorite authors. I didn't know you knew him. He has some great praise for this. He's the author of Ice Storm, among many books. He says that Lisa Haynes, in A Book of Knives, as in all of her work, is an astute psychologist, a cool, unsentimental investigator. I don't think you're unsentimental, but I'll hash that out in some bar with him one day. Unsentimental investigator of humans who often locates the hard truths. That I agree with. In a time of circumspection, her bracing recognition of a more complex human consciousness hits the spot. I admire her work and her sensibility. When you sent the book out, or your publisher sends the book out to solicit favorable quotations, what's that like sitting and waiting for those to come in? Is it frightening for you?
No, you try not to wait. In this particular case, I studied with Rick Moody at Bennington, at the Bennington Writing Seminars, and he doesn't do many blurbs.
Yeah, I know, I know.
It was my hope that he might take it on. So I was surprised that he did, and you create a long list, and you start reaching out to people, and then you hope for the best. And I think I got a splendid list of blurbs.
Yeah, I'll read a couple more before we're finished with this. When are you coming back to Chicago? Sometime soon? I know how you feel.
Maybe next summer.
I know how you feel about Chicago. And you came up here. Last time I saw you, you came here to partake of Ragdale.
Oh, I love Ragdale. And last time I came into town, I actually got a good deal of my mother's columns because I'm working on a book related to that.
What sort of book related to that?
Well, I'm actually playing around with a memoir about the newspaper world in the 60s. per column, I think it covered 60 to 65. And mm-hmm. before that, she was a journalist.
Wow.
It's a crazy, exciting.
Will I be in this book as
time.
as the young child running around Old Town?
Yeah.
Well, you'll love to hear that John Gorman's book begins. It's a sort of thriller murder book. Courtroom drama too begins in Old Town, where we both grew up, and that's what a small world we have here.
Perfect.
I'm going to read. Do you mind if I read one more thing that I think shows people? Instead of telling people so much what happens, I'm really taken with Nora. It's an hour before sunset, and I go down to the boathouse. Lining up two matching oars, I nestle a bottle of wine in one of the old orange life jackets under the seats of the boat I've taken out before. I tug it into the water, climb in and set the oars, and row. When I'm out toward the middle, I want to scream until the sound bounces off the hills and boulders. But someone would only run down to the dock thinking this is a call for help and pull another boat out. I push my face into the stinky life jacket and shout full-throated into the crusty fabric, then pitch it over the side. It's so decomposed it bobs and sinks. Uncorking the bottle, I take a long draw. Then I pull the seats up and throw them overboard. Lying down in the inch of water at the bottom of the boat, I drink. A trace of cloud speeds above me. A pair of mating dragonflies appears. They brighten and hurry off as the sky shifts colors. I drink harder. I think, Lisa, beyond people realizing what a stylish writer you are, I think they get a sense of that. Just in that one paragraph, I think they get a real sense of not totally, but of who Nora is. Do you agree?
Oh, yes, I definitely agree. And everything is so visual in her world. So that's the way she describes it.
Yeah.
And she's a woman just lost in grief, and she doesn't want to fully admit it to herself.
No, but one her late husband is
Takeo
is part of her. Is really part of her life in this book. There's no question about that. We'll take a break, and you can hear some news, and we'll come back and talk some more with Lisa Haynes, the author of, most recently, Book of Knives. It formally releases on Tuesday, but as usual, you can go online and buy it at all sorts of places, correct?
Correct, and it's even in audio. Not with your beautiful voice, but...
Well, I'll wait for the Growing Up in Old Town in the 60s book.
Okay.
I'll do that one for you, Lisa. We'll be back with Lisa Haynes. You can go check out Lisa Haynes. That's LISEHAINES.com, and we shall return. Okay, if I have not sold enough copies of Lisa Haynes' latest book, Book of Knives, I give you what Sheila Kohler. She's one of Vanity. She was in one of her books, a literary thriller called Open Secrets, which I have read. She says about Book of Knives that Lisa Haynes has created a believable world of terror where nothing is what it seems. Seen through the perceptive eyes of complex characters, a series of vivid scenes unfolds. One finds all one's worst fears echoed here in an increasingly suspenseful and surprising crescendo of events. Wonderfully done. This book is creepy. This book would make an extraordinary movie, I think, and it is also, it's one of those kind of, it's a literary ghost story, and I hate to use that word sometimes, Lisa, because I think that frightens people. Not ghost story, but literary seems to frighten people. Do you find that?
Well, yeah, it's a bag that they put, you know, every author gets put into a different box or bag, but it really is saying you love storytelling and you love the language when you tell a story. But I also want to mention that I owe a debt of gratitude to my daughter, Sienna, who you know well.
Yes, I know her. And she's a doll.
We were in Prague 3 or 4 years ago, and she wanted to go on ghost tours under the city.
God love her.
We went down and saw catacombs, and I think maybe that was my real first spark.
Oh,
that, want to tell this story.
How great. What is Sienna
I'm
doing?
Terrified.
What is Sienna doing now, honey?
She is at GBH, which used to be WGBH. She's an associate producer, and she creates educational video games for programs like Arthur and Molly of Denali.
Oh my God, how wonderful! She was a great kid when I knew her, and I know you as a mom, and you know, ever fond of you, dear. Is this a book? You know, I know you teach, and that is your foundation.
Yeah, I teach at Emerson.
And I know you love teaching. I am assuming that you would at some point love to spend all of your days every day writing. Is this book, I think this book has the potential to sell a lot of copies. And if indeed that happens, is that something you would like?
I would love that someday. It's the irony of this book, this very visual book, is that I've been slowly losing vision. And so it's kind of a race to see how much I can get done while I have full eyesight.
Wow, same sort of thing's been happening to me, and we'll have to talk about that off the air sometime.
Yes, we will.
Oh boy. It is, in many ways, no fun getting old. Lisa, I wonder, before I let you go, and again, the latest book is Book of Knives, and you can get all of Lisa's books by going and learn more about her and see what she looks like at Lisa, L-I-S-E, Haynes, H-A-I-N-E-S.com. John Gorman is in here. He's a former reporter at the Tribune, and he's written a book called Death Before Life. It's his first novel. And what would you tell John sitting right here next to me? What would you tell John about the writer's life? I mean, Lisa, would you say, be careful, John, don't get a bit swollen head, even if Rick says he loves your book?
Well, I mean, this is a man clearly who has spent his lifetime writing, so I can't really give him any advice except to please give you a hug before he goes, since I can't.
John will meet Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. So what's your method for starting a book? Do you have an outline with the beginning and the end already in mind?
Nothing. I have nothing. I just start with a sentence, an image, just some faint idea of a character. I wrote one book. I started out because I used to steal my parents' cigarettes back in the day when we all smoked. And I started there with a girl looking in at stealing some cigarettes. So you never know where it's going to start.
Well, Lisa, you will be happy to know that John started his book in with a murder in Old Town.
Ooh.
Or near Old Town, not exactly. It's close, and it's in the old triangle, as they say. Lisa, it's great to talk to you. I will call you and find out what's going on elsewise. The official publication of Book of Knives. And I hope this generates, because I not every book that I read certainly screams, make a movie. This one really does. And it's also, it's brilliantly written. I've read all of your books, and I've seen you grow into a great writer, period. A great writer.
Many things.
I adore you. You know that. Always have. Always will, sweetie. And I'll call you, and we'll compare health horror stories.
Excellent. All right.
Sweet. Love
you.
Love you, too. Take great care of yourself.
Right.
Okay, honey.
Bye.
Bye.